The show's daily reminder, you're entitled to nothing. The show starts now.
Kelsey Grammer, welcome to the program. Voted for Donald Trump. Yes. And I just wonder whether you sort of took any hits in Hollywood for that. Did you feel that you were sort of
marginalized? I'm unaware of taking a hit for it. Now, certainly there's passions run high, and certainly he has, been a touchstone for an extraordinarily passionate response. I don't know if it's as serious or horrible as everybody wants it to be.
I was wondering whether you thought that the sort of, many people believe the sort of fabric is being disrupted and,
Well, I think the fabric being disrupted is a good thing.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I do not think Washington was doing any favors. For the last 50, 60 years, I think they've all been sort of just the same party, the same bunch of clowns, the same bunch of unpleasant people. And I don't think they've been helping anybody but themselves.
Well, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. That was Kelsey Grammer talking about both sides of the aisle and saying basically we haven't really benefited from the things that they've been a part of or done. So I welcome you to the Kate Daly Show and glad that you're joining us on a Monday. And when we start off this show with Dr. Pesta, you know we mean business because we want to get off to a great start today. And we always do with Dr. Pesta. You can check out the Dr. Duke Show, Dr. Duke Pesta. Dr. Duke, and every Thursday night, it's a fantastic program, and proud to have Dr. Pesta join us every Monday. I've got Uncle Milty here. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hi.
And just glad to get this day off to a rollicking start. You know, Uncle Milty and I were just discussing the women's suffrage movement, as far as what they call it, and voting, and how I think the problem I have with this, even as a conservative, because I know a lot of conservative women won't even agree with me, that's okay, is that we have made this, the feminist have used this one pivotal moment in history as the moment where they delivered worth to a woman. And that ever since then, women now are relevant because they vote. And I think that's entirely the wrong premise. I think that we're taught something and it's skewed into a victimhood movement, more or less, and that we concentrate on this to kind of sell people on a box of rocks and we don't understand the history behind it. But I'd love to get your take, Uncle Milty's take on this, and really and explore this, because I want to know what this led to. What has been the result as well? And I know that's so controversial to talk about. So,
well, I'm glad you are. I mean, we live in a world where, as a woman, you can say that, and I'm not supposed to.
Yes, you're a puppy kicker.
You could track that back to the suffrage, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
The founding fathers rightly understood that voting was a privilege for those who, A, had skin in the game, who owned land, who were substantial, mm-hmm. and those who were educated. Those are the two things. A moral and an educated population is necessary for a republic to function. So all that happened roughly 100 years ago when we granted women the right to vote is we were allowing women, most of whom were educated much less than their male counterparts, to vote. Mm-hmm. And it's been pointed out by others, and I think it's a fair statement, that we look at where we've come in the 100 years since women were allowed to vote, and we now have created basically a paternalistic welfare state, mm-hmm. which allows women to be protected and cared for and nurtured, even if they don't have husbands, fathers, or families.
Right.
And so you think about, in one sense, how self-serving that is, right? Mm-hmm. The big warning about women was going to be that they were going to vote for what it is that women, historically have voted for. Security right. over liberty, nurturing mm-hmm. over the hard scrabble, pull you up by the bootstraps way of looking at things.
Right.
And they've really created a kind of a feminist paradise mm-hmm. where there are no consequences for your sexuality as a woman. There's no consequence for the willingness to sacrifice liberty for all this other stuff. And so it's a system, believe it or not, that seems to me to have benefited women much more than the country as a whole over the last 100 years.
Oh, absolutely. And before women get their bras in a twist, I just want to say that because they're going to have a problem, even with me saying this as a woman, and you're right, I'm probably the only one that can get away with it, is that, look, this is it was supposed to be about about voting for the Constitution, understanding it and representing it and upholding it. It wasn't supposed to be about just male and female voting. It wasn't supposed to be about ovaries means you can vote and bring your ignorance to the voting booth. It was supposed to be, hey, those of you that get it, that understand it, can be part of the voting process. By then, we as a people own our government because we are up on this. We're educated and we know what we're doing. We turned it into the other.
Yeah, look at the way the progressive left, and that includes feminists, mm-hmm. view Republicans when we vote.
Right.
Conservatives, they view us as animals. They view us as ignorant and mm-hmm. stupid. They view us as self-serving and anti-patriotic. So, okay, here we are in 2019, and liberal progressive women look at conservative voters that way. Yet if we suggest that to look at women voters 100 years ago who were much less educated than the men around them, who were much mm-hmm. more self-serving, whose politics was very limited because of the scopes in which they were allowed to function, those same feminists who look at us and call us fools and barbarians who are mm-hmm. unworthy of the vote, 100 years ago, they're going to, like you said, they're going to praise that one act of politics. And this is it for me, right?
Yeah, politics.
This is the point, that what it was a political thing, right? Mm-hmm. The voting itself depends on your education, depends on your intentions, depends on your patriotism, how voting comes out. It was just an act of politics. Granting the women the right to vote was just an act of politics. And look what's happened since. Mm-hmm. For the progressive left, women are defined politically. They are not defined by biology or nature. If they were defined by biology and nature, we would not have this war on the unborn. That's taking mm-hmm. place. You could make a good argument that the politicization of women led to the sexual freedom of women, which has led to the sexual anarchy of women, which is dehumanizing women in mm-hmm. the choice of abortion.
It was about control.
But that makes sense in a political context, though, and not in mm-hmm. any other.
Yeah, it was about control. And so what are they doing with that control? Murdering their own babies. That's what they're doing with that control. And so that's what it was all about from the beginning. And once the 1920s rolled around, and this took place, well, what did we do? We embarked on Socialism 101, and we have kept it going and never stopped it. And then, so what is the result, Dr. Pesta? What is the result? And look at some of these women in office and look at what they've done. Because I always want to know, okay, what's the result of this, right? We fought hard right? Okay.
I would absolutely agree with you, and I think that the socialist movement was greatly helped by the introduction of women into the voting booth because, again, collectivism, security, overriding mm-hmm. paternalistic structures of government, somebody else being responsible for your right. sexual inability to contain yourself, easy outs. I've made this point many times. Without birth control, and birth control is a useful thing, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but without birth control, you never would have had legalized abortion because right. when you gave women birth control, you are promising them against nature and against common sense mm-hmm. that they can have all the sex they want without any consequences. Mm-hmm. And when inevitably the birth control failed to work or the condom broke or the pill didn't take and the child was conceived, you have already promised these women no responsibility, no consequences. And so the only way to honor that promise is to kill the consequence of that. So you without a radical kind of feminist form of birth control, mm-hmm. you would never have had legalized abortion. And I think this falls squarely at the feet of the choices women make mm-hmm. Over and above the political, right?
Yes.
I mean, one thing we've been very successful at is divorcing women from their own morality and responsibility, because that's sexist, right? Mm-hmm. To hold women accountable for their choices is just women shaming. It's patriarchy. So women have can't be held responsible for their choices. Every bad choice a woman makes is the patriarchy's fault.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's what we've said. So in order to politicize women and empower them in the most trivial way, we have literally, in the name of feminism, dehumanized women across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the point that you just made about the morality, too, and where it's gone with this. But I also wanted to point out this, too. Wyoming had already given women the right to vote. But I want everyone before the women fought for anything. But I want to also say this. Why did they? They did because they wanted women to go to the state of Wyoming. It was mostly men that had come out west, and they wanted women to come, and they thought, well, we'll promise them voting, we'll give them voting, and there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare about it, because then the women started fighting for the voting all across the country. But the states were already considering this, already doing this, for some of the very reasons I just stated, in the west. So did they do it because of liberty? Did they do it because they wanted people voting for the Constitution to represent what the country was about? No. They just wanted people to commingle. And so that's what voting is dialed down to. And I just want to make that point one more time, because we don't get it that people think in history we fought for this and we fought so hard we finally got something that we were entitled to. Well, no, actually, that wasn't what it was all about in the very beginning either. And so we need people that represent liberty, male or female. And so if women are getting their bras in a twist over what we're saying is an educated person needs to go to the polls, not necessarily have anything to do with what sex they are or what, you know, what they possess in sexual organs. This is about liberty and about understanding it.
Yeah, and another example of this is look at the way progressive feminist women view conservative women when they vote. I mentioned earlier, a moment ago, that when progressives, including feminists, look at us as conservatives or Christians in the way we vote, mm-hmm. they would love to. The whole get rid of the Electoral College movement mm-hmm. is designed to punish us, right?
Right.
Our votes should not count as much as the big city liberal vote. That's what this is all about. But let's particularize that a little bit. In the same way that much worse than a boring old white guy with his toxic masculinity is a black male who chooses to be conservative. They're the ones who suffer more. Same thing with the women. For all these progressive women and their arguments about the enfranchisement of women, the entitlement of voting, they treat women who don't vote the way they want them to much harsher than they treat us members of the phallocracy, mm. right? Mm-hmm. You can see again that what this is breeding is not a broadening of the sensibility and the power of voting. Under things like feminism, we're trying to actually restrict voting. We're trying to argue of the illegitimacy of votes that don't align with our larger, broader socialist politics. And I'll say that too. As I already said it once, that socialism benefited greatly in America, and it would not have been able to make the strides that it had if it had not a relatively undereducated female population in the first 50 years of suffrage to justify its utterly illogical claims mm-hmm. And false claims of protection.
Yeah, we weren't marched in the desert dying. We weren't on firing squad just because we were women. So that's suffering. We just weren't voting. That's a whole different thing. Uncle Milty?
You know, I look back to one of the very first things that happened right after the 1920 19th mm-hmm. Amendment was prohibition.
Ah,
women had a part to play in that.
Yeah, a driving part. I would also argue that it's tangentially the Great Depression that followed had something to do with this as well, too. Then you think about the breakup of the black family in the 1940s and 50s. The black family was by far the most stable family in all of America. African Americans divorced much less mm-hmm. than whites and other races. And then the paternalistic rise of civil rights, mm-hmm. right, which was devastating to the family in general, the black family in particular, and gave us basically the fatherless paternalistic house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be right back. More with Dr. Duke Pesta. Brilliant. Just brilliant. Be right back. Everybody needs to share this clip right here. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show. Sugar.
Kate Daly Show at your service. KateDalyRadio.com, KateDalyRadio.com for podcasts, and share those far and wide. Let's get people educated, shall we? And I have Uncle Milty with me, Dr. Duke Pesta, who joins, if you're new to the show, joins us every Monday, which is really a shot in the arm and gets us going for our Monday, for our weekly show and our daily show. And let me tell you, you can email me, Kate at KateDalyRadio.com, Kate at KateDalyRadio.com. How do they contact you, Dr. Pesta, if they want to get a hold of you?
Well, I hope you'll consider watching or listening to the podcast of the Dr. Duke Show.
Yes.
And that can be found at the drdukeshow.com, or excuse me, drdukeshow.com. Mm-hmm. And it's available for download free from all your podcasting places. And of course, you could find out more information about the school and about me at FPE, Frank Paul Edward, FPEUSA.org.
Thank you for that. And Uncle Milty's with us. I sure have a lot to say about this. I mean, we need hours. But I know that there are women out there whose toes curl when they hear a woman saying the things that I've been saying. But I really do hope that women can become less emotional about this and more logical about looking at our history and looking at our past and saying, what has this done? What has been the result of the women's movement since the 20s? Where have we landed, I think, is the most important question.
Yeah, I would say, too, that before anybody gets their toes curled, and keep in mind, Kate, that toe curling can be a good or a bad thing, depending on my perspective. But from the perspective of what I'm trying to say is that everything we've said about women voting, you could say about uneducated men voting, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So this is not a distinction that holds only for a particular gender. Men without education make the same kind of foolish voting patterns and choices that women do.
Right.
So this is why your founding fathers, I think, wisely recognized that there had to be some substantial personal investment in the infrastructure and future of the country before you had a right to vote.
Right.
And generally speaking, landowners were educated people, which is why it was more or less held to them. Now, we don't have to go back to that somewhat archaic model, but we've got to get past the notion that what we've done over the last 100 years is to politicize women. We have stripped them of their maternal instincts. We have argued that politics and feminism demands they have the right to destroy their own children. We have chased men from the homes. We have belittled fatherhood. We have displaced men in places like the military and fire departments, mm-hmm, and all sorts of careers,
right,
which are primarily for a reason male-dominated. And we have watered down many intellectual achievements. We have opened colleges and universities up to people, men and women both, mm-hmm, who aren't qualified to be there. What we've done for the last 100 years is we've turned women into primarily political creatures. And in so doing, we have destroyed what it is that's unique about them, and we have actually made them unfeminine. We have destroyed the female instinct,
you're right,
in them while projecting femaleness on men, which isn't going to end well for us in the long run either.
You're so right on that. I'm glad you made that point. It's brilliant. The feminism movement is anything but. It is anything but feminist. I mean, really and truly, it's robbing us of that step by step along the way. And when we look at these politicians that are running for office, just because they have ovaries does not mean they know the Constitution. It doesn't mean that they can stand for the representation in that manner for this country. And so we tend to think somebody with ovaries is that's me getting into office. It's a representation of me. Well, it should be somebody that's educated, male or female. But look at who's in office right now. I mean, look who's even trying to climb the ladder right now. It's pretty
amazing. First of all, isn't it ironic that you say based on their ovaries? Given what the function of ovaries are,
mm-hmm,
the function of ovaries is to aid in reproduction.
Right.
That has nothing to do with what feminism is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's odd, isn't it, that when we reduce women to their ovaries or to argue that my ovaries are what qualify me because I'm a woman to be the president or to be a senator or be a Supreme Court justice, well, it's interesting that we go to the reproductive aspect, mm-hmm, of the male and female.
Yeah.
And whenever you hear the word ist, like feminist or Marxist or socialist, ist always suggests political. This is, again, the reduction of the female to a political identity. There's masculine and feminine. Those are real things. Feminist is just the transformation of the feminine into a political creature. And if you look at the women running for higher office, you've got the morally and ethically reprehensible Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
With all the feminist cant that's come out of her mouth for the last 30 years, she personally defended her serial woman abuser husband.
Mm-hmm.
She empowered him. She covered for him. She participated in the destruction of women who complained about him. You look at Elizabeth Warren now, right,
mm-hmm,
who basically launched her career on the predication of a false racial component, which she knew wasn't true.
Yep.
She bumped out of positions, high-level, high-paying, tenure-track positions at Harvard that would have gone to a native Native American woman, but didn't because pasty white girl got it. And you look at Kamala Harris, right, with all of her platitudes about equality, who basically slept her way with her former black male mentor into higher and higher positions of trust and responsibility. And so, again, I'm not saying that these are disqualifying things for women. Mm-hmm. I think because, you know, Bill Clinton was a serial abuser before he became president. Mm-hmm. It's not gender specific. But the idea that somehow women, because of their ovaries, are morally or somehow superior or genetically superior or somehow they're pure or because they're feminist, that they're somehow wiser, is categorically untrue. And yet that's how the media, that's how Hollywood, that's how these activists want to portray it. Simply because they're feminine, they must be more virtuous. They must have more empathy and more intelligence, when in reality, it's almost always the other way.
You know, it's interesting as you went down that list. I had read an article in the New Yorker from December of 2016. Mm-hmm. And it was the 13 women who should run for the presidency in 2020.
Boy.
Here are the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Tulsi Gabbard, Kamala Harris, Claire McCaskill, Kirsten Gillibrand.
Wow. What a list.
But it's so
combined,
choreographed.
It's like one brain cell. Yes.
From 2016. And look at where we are.
And look at where we are today because they were telling
By the way, I'm curious, Milty, were there any Republican women on the list?
Yes, but I didn't name them because they're
like
not going to run anyway against the president.
Right. And of course, the point is that the fact that they're Republican women candidates won't run against a well-serving male president, I think it sketches a difference, doesn't
that
it, between this mania for diversity.
That is, too. And I wonder when women are finally going to get this. And this is why I didn't want, you know, bras to get twisted over this, was when are women going to realize how used, actually, you know, the deep state was really wanting to have a revolution that drew us into socialism step by step. Without the women on board to do this and delivering this in a lot of cases, we could not have gotten to this point, and this point is not a revolution of, wow, look how amazing we are compared to everybody in our history. Mm-hmm. We're actually more stupid than we've ever been in history, and we actually are worse to our own liberty. We are actually repugnant to our own liberty as a result of where we have been since the 1920s, and I wish people would start to look through that lens of history.
How about this anecdote to prove that? Look at the women who've been elected to the Supreme Court, and what you will find is every one of them is lockstep in terms of their positions. All radical progressives, all pro-abortion. We have not had a woman on the Supreme Court who represents the rest of America or represents the entire other demographic of women. The only women who get elected to the Supreme Court by male presidents are ones that are inflexibly progressive. When was the last time you saw a progressive female Supreme Court justice ever cross the aisle, ever side with the conservatives? Mm-hmm. It's never happened.
That's a great
point. And I think there's something in that, right? That the kind of women that particularly progressive men envision as their equals are women like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And by the way, we're making movies about Ruth Bader Ginsburg as if she's some sort of superhero now. And what is the one thing that anybody knows about Ruth Bader Ginsburg other than her blind support for abortion at any time during the pregnancy? That's it. You take that issue away, she would be the most forgettable Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, amen to that. I love how she cites something in the trailer that isn't even in the Constitution, you know, that she says isn't in the Constitution, but it is. I mean, talk about a woman with zero understanding, really, truly, of the Constitution, and all you have to do is look at her voting record to know why. But I really do think that women prop themselves up for to be used as well, maybe even naively so in the beginning. I don't know. They seem to like it, because all you have to do is you have to say to a class of people or group of people, you've been denied something, and now we're going to give it back to you. For them to, you know, to pursue that and not even understand why it was pursued. Uncle Milty?
You know, they make such a big deal out of this. It's time for a woman to be elected to this or appointed to this. But I dare you to find one single woman under 40 that if you asked her who was the first woman appointed to the United States Supreme Court. They could not name her.
No.
And that applies to a lot of 40-year-olds, regardless mm-hmm. of gender. But you're absolutely right, Milty.
Yeah.
And more to it, too, than that, I think, this idea here about using women being used. Cher came out, that the insufferable Cher came out. Mm-hmm. And she went right before Joe Biden flipped. Remember, Joe Biden was going to honor the Hyde Act. He didn't think we should spend federal money on abortion. And then he got yelled at by Alyssa Milano and Cher. And right before he changed his mind to be more pro-progressive, more pro-woman, as they would say, that Cher came out and said that Biden, the future is female. You better not piss us off, right?
Whoa.
Now think about that. Think about the absolutely insulting nature of that.
Yeah.
The future is female. Women, progressive women say this kind of garbage all the time. You think about the Democrat plantation when it comes mm-hmm. to black people, because Democrats do the same thing to blacks that they do to women.
Right.
Think about the Democrat plantation. And then think about the much, much more influential Democrat drawing room, as I call it, the Democrat salon, right, where women are patronized and pandered to, where women's worst instincts are considered political assets for them. And you think about the plantation mentioned with blacks, you think about the drawing room plantation, mm-hmm. if you can use that phrase, to show you how the Democrats have given women less and less, stripped women more of their individuality, dehumanized women more and more, separated women from their husbands and their fathers, destroyed women's ability to see beauty in motherhood and family. You think about that, the Democrat plantation pales before the Democrat drawing room.
When Cher slammed Joe Biden over the Hyde Amendment and she stated that women are the future now,
mm-hmm.
my first question in my mind was, is that all women, including the transgendered women?
Maybe. Who knows?
Well, evidently. I guess so
evidently.
Now.
That
the best way to get ahead as a man is to pretend to be a woman. Then not only do you get all the rights of women, but you get more rights than most women have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, women are marching around angry in unison, by the way, wearing the same hat, if that tells you anything to conformity. But women are marching around angry, and they don't even realize, I think, to the tune that their ignorance is playing. And I wish that women, like I said, would step back from this emotion, which we're very good at for a reason, and we should be. That's what our skills cater to. But we have let emotion play into this over the last century, and that has not served us well. When you said those politicians are the way they are, yes. Because that's what we have, that's what we're all about now. It isn't about anything that has to do with serving this country at all.
Well, you have a phrase. For people that confused, we say they are people who had their heads mm-hmm. up their butts, right?
Mm-hmm.
To call somebody a person who has their head up their butt is somebody who is so narcissistic, self-involved, and out of touch that you can't take them seriously.
Right.
What does it then say that the symbol of this feminist movement is to take your genitalia and to knit it into the shape of a hat and to stick your head up that? I mean, what's the difference between sticking your head up your butt and up some knit cap in the shape of a vagina? It seems uh-huh. to me there's great parallelism there.
Oh, man. Oh, I love
that. That was good.
This is why I love Dr. Preston. Nobody can say it like that. We'll be right back. And you know what? The first black president, or half black, didn't really get us through racism. A first woman president isn't going to get us much farther down the Liberty Road. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I got Uncle Milty. I got Dr. Duke. And we're really trying to have this very adult conversation. A lot of people need to be accompanied by an adult when we talk this way, because it is so different than what you've heard in the media. It is so different than what is spewed out as far as the towing the line. Now, you know, everybody has to follow lockstep in thinking about things a certain way. And we were talking about women's suffrage, and it's not exactly suffering. We weren't dying by firing squad because we were women. We weren't marching around in circles starving and held in camps because we were women. what it dials down to was voting. And they make voting into the launch pad for the feminist movement. And what we're saying is, if you want to dial this down to logic and really look at the results over a century and look at where we've become, women in office tend to go more with emotion. Women in office tend to go more with compassion. Those are two good things, as long as they can logically still stay in a place where they're understanding what they're trying to represent. And that would be the government. That would be the Constitution, right? The Constitution. And so we don't have that. And you were talking about feminism and equality, right? Dr.
Yeah,
Pesta.
My point is that feminism and equality have nothing to do with each other.
Right.
The argument for women's suffrage was ultimately the argument that under the law, women should be treated the same as men. And you know what? In every single way, men and women are the same under the law. In fact, there are many perks and prerogatives that are afforded to women that men do not get under the law. First and foremost, in the consequence of a divorce, it's almost always without question the woman who gets the children. That's a prerogative men don't have. When it comes to abortion, the made-up constitutional right, it takes man and a woman to get pregnant, and yet the man has no say over the life that's growing in the belly of his partner. And so there are plenty of ways in which not only are men and women completely equal under the law, but women are actually more equal in some ways,
You're
or given
right.
more benefits of the doubt than men are. That's categorically true. Now, along comes feminism, which is now utterly obsolete. Men and women are equal under the law. No one can deny that. Mm-hmm. But what feminists are telling young girls and young women is now you're legally the same as men, but now you must be treated more superior in every other way. You must be handed things. You must be promoted without earning it. You must get scholarships you didn't deserve. You must be elected the president just because we've never had one before.
Right.
So where feminist comes in is the feminist ignores the equality under the law, which we have obtained, which is all any of us have a right to ask for in terms of entitlement. And now you have to confer special status on the female in every aspect of social, political, and cultural life, or else you're a bigot.
Amen.
And we never demand results.
Yeah.
You know, in 1992 was declared the year of the woman after the controversial appointment of Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court. Four women were elected to the Senate.
Right.
Dianne Feinstein, Carol Moseley Braun, Patty Murray, and Barbara Boxer.
Oh,
well, two of them are left. In the two most progressive, nastiest liberal states in the union.
Yeah.
Feinstein and Patty Murray of Washington.
And they represent it so well.
Yes.
Yep. And you guys go back to 92. Yeah. Let's jump ahead to 2016.
Uh-huh.
We now have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right?
Uh-huh.
She's a child. She is clearly economically illiterate, despite having a degree in economics from a major university in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
She is somebody who happened to be a progressive in one of the most progressive districts in the entire country, and she won an election. And we treat her like she is some kind of mastermind. We give her all sorts of benefits of the doubt and authority. We give her all sorts of attention and acclaim that she has done nothing to earn other than to win an election. She'd have to be dead not to have won. And if it were Chicago, she'd have still won then.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go back to 92, Milty, and you talk about some of these dinosaur Democrats who are still in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, what exactly have they done for women? And you ask yourself now of the up-and-rising generation, right? And you know the funny thing about we made the equation between women's suffrage and socialism. You want to see those two things, feminism and socialism intersecting in a very real way, just look at the life and career of AOC. Shallower than the shallowest puddle.
Amen to that.
You couldn't splash in that puddle if you were a flea.
She even says she answered a casting call. She's playing a part in a theater production of Congresswoman of New York. And you know, here's the deal. And for women questioning this, well, Kate, you know, you're standing on the shoulders, and Kate, you know, you like to vote. Here's the deal. Yes, I like to vote only because I know about my government and I understand what's going on. And I do think that it was sold in the way that women, you were robbed of something that you need to have. And that's why this is the biggest conquest, is voting. And what they did was they placed the emphasis on just the act of voting, not what you're voting for, not what you're invested in, not what you're educated in, just the simple act of going to the poll. And casting your vote was now a representation of equality. It wasn't a representation of wisdom. It had nothing to do with that.
Well, And it was tribalism. When men mm-hmm. started to vote back in 79, when in the 18th century, men weren't voting against each other on the basis of gender.
Right.
When the feminist vote came in, when women were voted, it became aligned with vote for women because, right?
Right.
So when women were given the vote, the premise of that was we have to vote for women's issues, that we have to vote for other women, that as women we have to stick together. And you think about how divisive that was. Mm-hmm. I mean, and to this day, you see the holdover of that.
Yep.
It's the entitlement, right? It's like you said, it's time for a woman president, right? Why is it time for that? Well, just because.
Just because.
That's not an argument, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's their turn, right? Remember Hillary's campaign slogan, I'm with her. What a transparent way to try to play off this vaginal tribalism,
yeah,
right?
You're right?
When women got the vote, it was always framed in the politics like that said, only women gave you this vote, that we women made this happen. We suffragettes, we politicized women made this happen. And to be worthy of the right to vote, you have to vote what we want you to vote ad nauseum,
as a thank you to the women in the 1920s and the 1970s, right? It was in that era. So it was like this big thank you without ever saying, gee, are you informed? Gee, do you know what you're doing? Gee, should you even be in office representing other people's liberty? I have a caller for you. Caller, you're on with Dr. Pesta. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, doctor. Don't forget who AOC is. Mm. She was set up by the Justice Democrats mm-hmm. to run for office and won that office, and the Justice Democrats are the new darling child of the progressive left.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones who are basically calling a lot of the shots under the radar that a lot of people don't hear about.
Yeah.
But they are running the millennial side of the Democrat Liberal
and
Party.
And she was their front runner to be dumb enough to go along with it. Hey, thanks, yeah. caller. Really appreciate that.
She,
yeah.
Well said. She is a bug-eyed marionette dancing to the strings of largely male yeah. big Democrat yep. politicians. That's exactly right.
Yeah, great. Color I'll say this too, with looking back in history and looking back at what this has done, it has not done stellar things. When they place the emphasis on something different than the representation of the Constitution, than the representation of liberty, when we turned it from that into the act of voting is the most important civil right that you'll have. It doesn't mean anything if everyone's going to the polls uneducated. In fact, it's working against us, and we have a clear shot of that. All you have to do is look around you.
Well, and take a look at a couple of women in high office. Look at Theresa May, mm-hmm. right, the now disgraced Prime Minister of London who resigned, who her entire constituency, her country went and voted legally to leave Brexit, to leave the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
And she has done nothing than dither that away. And look at Angela Merkel in Germany,
yep.
whose own kind of maternalistic mother knows best, her Hausfrau vibe, has brought in countless hundreds of thousands of immigrants, refugees, who have no interest in assimilating into German society.
Nope.
What kind of leadership are we dealing with here?
Oh, amen to that.
Hey, and there's a third female I'd like to throw in there
okay.
as an example of this. Justin Trudeau. Yet another example of what female leadership will write, how can take an otherwise common sense
right.
country like Canada
right.
and turn it into some kind of a feminist infomercial.
Oh, amen. You're on fire today. Amen to that. I have to totally agree with you. Oh my gosh. We're in trouble. And people think that the representation it just has to do with somebody being feminine. Like if they get a feminist into office, they think women will reflect on themselves as, I can do anything. The problem with I can do anything is I can do anything. Do I even understand what I'm doing? So the whole premise is sold on you can be anybody. Well, I only want to be that person if I understand the role in which I'm about to embark on. But they're almost encouraging, hey, anyone can do anything. Yes, that's great. Except that know your stuff, too. They don't do that with politics.
Well, and how about this as another example of this? How many of our benighted progressive colleagues and friends actually think Michelle Obama would be their number one choice for president? Now, here's a woman without a political instinct in her body, a woman who is not all that bright,
mm-hmm.
a woman who used her entire time as a first lady to go on lavish vacations and go on magazine covers, a woman whose only accomplishment as the first lady was to destroy the lunch programs and the caloric intake of high school kids across the country,
yes.
and yet simply because she was a woman who happened to be married to the president,
mm-hmm.
how many, I'll bet you, if she entered the Democrat race tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
she would immediately be the front runner because mm-hmm. she's got a vagina.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. That's what we're capitalizing on. That's why I say women are used in this way, too, and they're falling for it left and right. They fall for it. They like it. They want it to be this. They want it to be dialed down to nothing but air, nothing but what you have ovaries, and that's about it, and that's what makes you special. So, therefore, you're going to know everything you need to know to represent people's liberty, and that's not been the case since the beginning. It just hasn't been. I don't know how
I think that's
can argue it.
Well, notice what the left wants to do. They want to appoint women. They don't like the fact that when women vote, when many – look, Trump would not be president if he did not get a sizable female vote. Mm-hmm. And so what there's a sense of entitlement of the feminists too, right? It's our time. And we should be able to appoint the president. We should just be able to pick one.
Right.
And notice how unselective it is. Pretty much any woman with a pulse and a Planned Parenthood pin would be a good first president over any man, however brilliant he might be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. 888-673-1450. And like you talked about, we were talking on the break a little bit, too, about political advancement. It's all been about advancement. Has it not?
Well, advancement in a very limited sense, right? Mm-hmm. It's not women. Women haven't made the country morally better. Women haven't made the country spiritual better. Feminist women, I should say, haven't made the country spiritually better. Economically better, feminist women have not made it so. Educationally better, feminist women have not made it so. But what we're seeing is greater representation, particularly in progressive parties. Mm-hmm. And how do you determine now the politics of a Elizabeth Warren from the politics of a Bernie Sanders? What's the difference? It's the same old warmed over quasi-Marxist rhetoric just coming from female mouths. And that's supposed to be some kind of a recommendation for it?
Jeez, I hope not. But that's where we've landed, and the emphasis has been anything but be educated and know what you're doing. And so when we look at these movements and we celebrate them, and we even go as far as to call them suffrage, so that you're a puppy kicker if you even bring it up. I mean, I feel bad for you guys because me saying it, women go, a woman saying that, but you guys, it's like, oh, get a death squad.
No. You get it worse. Like, it's the Clarence Thomas factor, right?
No, maybe
if you're a conservative, black guy, you get it worse than the race. This white guy does.
Yeah.
Same thing for you. You'll get it a lot. They look at me and Milty and they see privileged white guy anyway. They've already written us off.
Yeah.
Right?
You're swimming in your privilege.
you have a platform, Kate, mm-hmm. and you're not using it to advance their baby-chilling agenda. And so you're the bigger disappointment by far.
Oh, yes. And let me just say this. When people say you're standing on the shoulders of those that came before you that fought the feminist fight. No, I'm not. I'm standing on the shoulders of generations of women that knew their value and worth without the feminist movement. And that is extremely powerful to me. I knew I could do something that I wanted to do and possibly do it in the way I wanted to do it. But that wasn't because of the feminist movement. It had nothing to do with it.
I'll take the analogy a little bit further. Yes, absolutely. As a woman, you stand on the shoulders of certain feminists and certain women's rights advocates who fought for you. Mm-hmm. But those women's rights activists stood on the shoulders of generations after generations of men who provided things like liberty, who created a constitution where all men, all people ultimately were going to be treated equally under the law. So we're all standing on the shoulders of somebody. And some of those people are women and some of those people are men. But according to the progressive left, the only shoulders you have to stand on are those of your immediate political forebears. And that's a very short person to be.
And according to these feminists, it only matters if you're a woman or a man. That's the only thing that matters. It didn't matter that certain people had wisdom along the way. It doesn't matter who has the wisdom and what they're using it for. It's just about biology, too, by the way, which they are actually confusing to this day and trying to get you to believe it doesn't matter as much as it matters. It's very strange. They can't even take a hold of their own narrative.
Well, you just stated a position that's anti-science, anti-logic, anti-truth, and coincidentally, you equated it to women. That seems to be taking us right back to where we started before. One of the problems is, are women voting because they're women, or are women voting because they have taken the time, like anybody else, to know what they're voting for?
Yeah, it isn't a right just to be exercised. It's a right to exercise with wisdom. Big, huge difference. I just adore you, Dr. Pesta, Uncle Milty. I mean, my gosh, we didn't even have this plan today, so I just love that even better. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you.
And see you guys next week.
Catch the Dr. Duke Show every Thursday night. We'll be right back. A lot of headlines and a lot of principles to talk about at stake here. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.